It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. It's a little early for happy hour, but what the heck. Look, every cocktail in the South has its own story. If you don't believe me, go look up the history of the mint julep or the slow gin fizz. Atlanta filmmaker James Martin picked a peach of a tale for his new short documentary. The film is called The New Orleans Sazerac, and it screened at Cannes Film Festival earlier this week. James Martin joins me on the line from France now. Hi, James.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Is it time? Is it cocktail hour in France at least at this point?
It is. Yes, I heard the intro and I was thinking, yeah, it is kind of cocktail hour for me.
Well, good.
But yeah.
You can enjoy one for all of us for whom it's still 9 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly.
We're also joined by Claire McLafferty, who works as a bartender in Birmingham, Alabama, and writes about Southern cocktails. Hi, Claire.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Claire joins us by Skype. So, James, let's talk about the Sazerac itself, because some people claim it is the very first American cocktail, and other people argue it is not. Where do you fall on that question?
Well, I think after doing all the research for the documentary, I fall in the category of not agreeing with that. I think that there's something, there's an alignment with the Sazerac and the folklore of it all, with it, the name cocktail sort of aligning itself with that drink, because of a French term that sounds quite similar to the word cocktail, and sort of us being Americans and not really sure how to pronounce French words, sort of allowing that to become the word that we're all used to hearing as cocktail. But then, you know, research and investigation later found that that wasn't necessarily the case.
All right, Claire, what about you? Is the Sazerac the first truly American cocktail?
I don't believe that it is. I fall in line with James. I think that there are a lot of really awesome and really beautiful stories that have emerged around cocktails, but parsing through what's mythology and what's supported by the historical record can be very difficult. The oldest surviving cocktail book is actually from the 1860s. So what we know from before that is kind of pieced together.
All right. The other thing that we don't actually know, James, is the definitive recipe of this drink, the Sazerac. It's not defined, is it?
It was not defined for the first 50 or so years that it was sort of wandering around New Orleans. And then in the early 1900s, there was finally a recipe printed. And that is the recipe that a lot of historians and bartenders nowadays sort of default to. Although what causes the little bit of an argument is that people believe that the cocktail or the drinks that existed prior to that recipe are the original recipe for the drink. And so you've got people on one side that are sort of claiming that, hey, this brandy cocktail that existed since the mid-1800s is the Sazerac. And then you have this other camp that says, oh, no, 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 the Sazerac was first sort of brought on as a branded drink in the early 1900s. So you've got these fighting camps.
And it's all sort of tied up in the history of bitters and the history of absinthe, because absinthe was banned in the U.S. for most of the 20th century. It was banned in 1912 here. It didn't become legal until 2007, truly legal until then. So, Claire, for a long time, was the Sazerac just not authentic in the U.S. because absinthe with us was not included?
So I may have a pretty unpopular opinion on this one, but as a bartender, you kind of learn that a cocktail's quote-unquote classic recipe is not necessarily how it's made. And a lot of the time, the best way to make a cocktail is any darn way you please. So it was the Sazerac that was available at the time. It's a Sazerac recipe that has survived in quite a few bars in New Orleans. So it's not necessarily the original recipe, and it's actually not the original recipe, excuse me, but it is a Sazerac.
Wait, is this all you saying that you don't use absinthe?
Oh, no, I absolutely use absinthe.
James, was the banning of absinthe keeping people from drinking authentic Sazerac for almost 100 years?
No, I don't think so. I think so. The great thing about New Orleans is that they're pretty resilient. And so when we unfortunately decided to ban absinthe, shortly thereafter, Prohibition happened. And then shortly after that, there was a product called Herb Saint, which was invented in New Orleans. And so people started using that in place of the absinthe. And it's a quite similar liqueur that, you know, has a lot of the same characteristics and flavor notes. And so then what was happening was bartenders since the 1930s were using Herb Saint to make their Sazeracs because that's all they could use. And so when you ask people now how they prefer their Sazerac, you have a lot of people that want Herb Saint because that's sort of what they had until the repeal on the ban that happened in 2007. But then you have the purists that want, you know, what would have been served in 1905, you know. And so they're both Sazeracs, and there are other variations that occur with the formulation of the drink that still make it a Sazerac. But yeah, you've got this interesting divide happening.
We've been asking, hold on one second, Claire. We have been asking listeners to tell us their favorite cocktail, whether it's a personal recipe or not, and you can tweet us that at OST Talk. Sam Burnham says, I go for bourbon and ice, preferably Woodford Reserve, Knob Creek, or Jeff's Bourbon. And Roy Lee says, my favorite cocktail is the penicillin at Leon's in Decatur. Not on the menu, but
nice. You
can ask for it. Claire, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that using Herb Saint instead of absinthe is kind of like the movement towards using sour mix instead of fresh juices and syrups. The two arose kind of concurrently, but for different reasons. Sour mix was kind of first introduced on a large scale in the 30s and started becoming more and more popular. And a lot of people will say that cocktails made with sour mix aren't cocktails. But what if you mix a fresh juice with a fresh syrup and call it sour mix? Is that still a cocktail? Is that not a cocktail? It's one of those things where it's debatable, as is pretty much everything in drinking history.
And here's one of my favorite parts about the documentary, James, is the titles for all the experts that you interview. So you've got like a cocktail tour guide and absinthe historian and director of the drinks museum. I mean, I had no idea any of those things were real jobs, but I love them. It feels to me as though anytime you're going to dig into cocktail history, you're going to find colorful characters, right?
Oh, totally. And I think one of the things that we had working in our favor with the documentary is that there's this big conference that happens in New Orleans every year, and it's called Tales of the Cocktail. And so you've got all of these experts and bartenders coming to one city, which just so happens to be the backdrop for the Sazerac. And so we were able to talk to folks all in one place that certainly have focuses on different drinks, not just the Sazerac, but have even more specific focus on components of cocktails. Like, you know, you mentioned the absinthe historian. Ted Bro, actually also living in Birmingham with Claire, was our absinthe historian. And he just knows everything that there is to know about that. And so that's something we really wanted to do is talk to people that knew components of the story or components of the ingredients of the story. There's a lot of those sorts of folks.
And here's another place where you have to kind of dig back when you're talking about the definitive recipe of the Sazerac, because some of it depends on which bitters you use. And you feature three different bartenders making three different versions of the Sazerac. And Claire, what kind of bitters do you use?
Well, at the bar where I used to work, we actually used a mixture of Peychaud's and Angostura. And when I was talking on Facebook with a couple friends, once again, there are purists who will argue that Angostura should never touch a Sazerac, whereas others prefer it. So once again, it's kind of a matter of taste and tradition.
Yeah,
we have a tweet from Robbie Medwed who says, my favorite is a brown derby, simple and great. But the history of bitters is part of the history that you cover in your documentary, because Peychaud's ended up, he moved, he was brought to New Orleans, I guess, when he was still a toddler, right?
Yep, that's right. He and his father came here. His father was also a pharmacist, and so he sort of took over and followed in the family footsteps and started working on bitters, which back then were obviously, and I guess I think a lot of people know them or align them as medicinal, or they were seemingly used to cure, you know, stomach aches, or if you had a headache or whatever, people would take a spoonful of this stuff. And I think mostly was placebo, but some of them tasted pretty good. And so anyway,
you have to realize that bitters is just alcohol with different herbs and seeds and plant stuff put into it.
Exactly.
I mean, it can taste differently according to what kind of plant material you put inside, but it's mostly just spiced alcohol.
Exactly. And same with absinthe. Absinthe in a lot of ways is a bitter. It's just, you know, a ton of botanicals that are put into a liquor and infused in that. And so one thing I do want to note is, you know, we've talked about little ingredients and how they sort of differ. And we've talked about herb stain and absinthe and the bitters with Angostura or Peychaud. Every component of the Sazerac has like a this or this sort of component to it. And that's what I think makes the three bartenders that you mentioned so interesting, because they all have sort of the same approach, but they're all slightly different in terms of what sugar they use or if they use cognac or rye whiskey. And so, that's what I think is really, really cool about this drink in particular.
My guest is Atlanta filmmaker James Martin. His documentary on the history of the New Orleans Sazerac was shown this week at the Cannes Film Festival. We also have Southern cocktail aficionado and writer Claire McLafferty. She writes about cocktails and bartends in Birmingham, Alabama. And Claire, you actually wrote something for The Bitter Southerner that was, I think, the five essential Southern cocktails you needed to know how to make. Am I getting that right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about one of the other ones and how it compares to the Sazerac, because I think that if you asked most people to name a Southern cocktail, the first thing that's going to come to their mind is the mint julep, right?
Yes, I would absolutely agree. Oh. And I think that the mint julep is Southern in spirit rather than in construction, if you will.
What does that mean?
Well, the julep is a very, very old medicinal drink. And it originally shows up in an Iranian medical text in the 600s. But back then, it was actually a solution of macerated violets or violets soaked in sugar and water. It kind of migrated to Europe, where it was used as medicine. Alcohol was added along the way. It was brought over from Europe to the New World. And somewhere along the line, people started drinking it for fun as well as medicine. And mint was actually not added until 1802 or thereabouts. So it's one of those cocktails that has changed a lot over time, just like the ingredients in the Sazerac have kind of been variable over time.
Mm-hmm.
So too has the mint julep changed. I think that the quintessential two Southern associations with the mint julep are basically sitting on a large Southern front porch and drinking one during the summer. And then, of course, the Kentucky Derby.
Right. And the Sazerac, James, it's fair to say that the Sazerac has never quite reached the iconic status of the mint julep outside of New Orleans. Is that fair?
I think it's fair to say that nowadays there was a time in around 1904 where it was actually a bottled cocktail that existed and was shipped all around the U.S. and was actually quite popular. And then, that sort of survived for a while. And then, you know, the ban on absinthe kind of messed it up a little bit. And then Prohibition surely kind of put a halt to it all. And then it became sort of this regional drink thereafter that has existed and survived in New Orleans for a while, and then in the last 10 years has slowly crept back out into the world. And nowadays, I think listeners, as they're learning more about this drink, they'll find it on the menu quite often now when they go to different bars and restaurants.
So I have about a minute to give to each of you. And my question for you is, what makes a drink successful in the South? And let me go to you first, Claire. What makes something a successful Southern drink?
Well, it depends. So it depends on kind of the taste of the time, as is evident with the Sazerac, because that taste profile is not something that would have been popular 20, 30 years ago in kind of the age of disco and vodka drinks. So it's one of those things. What makes a drink Southern? I'd say one part history, two parts tradition, and one part of adoption.
And James, what would you say? What makes a drink successful in the South?
I think that there's a way of living in the South. So I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio, and I moved to Atlanta 6 years ago. And there's just something about being able to hang out with your friends and move a little bit slower and have some space to create, that whatever drink you might be having with those people or in that area that you're inspired by, I think that can allow it to survive in the South, no matter what the cocktail might be.
The company, I guess. That's Atlanta filmmaker James Martin. His documentary, The New Orleans Sazerac, was shown this week at the Cannes Film Festival. We also heard from Claire McLafferty. She's a bartender and cocktail writer. That's another job description I didn't know existed, in Birmingham. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you all so much.